the government. Okay. Go ahead, Brock. Elk general season, okay. Special permits, briefing, and public hearing.
Yep, so we'll move into elk general seasons. So first, I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of an overview of the status of our elk herds currently. At the time I prepared this presentation, we conduct our elk surveys in late winter, early spring, and none of the surveys had been conducted at the time I put this presentation together. I can tell you that they just wrapped up the Yakima herd survey, and I got that number late last night, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Again, another couple events that have affected our elk populations in recent years was the drought in 2015, and then we had bad winters in 2015-16 and 2016-2017. In the winter of 2016-2017, we documented record low calf-to-cow ratios in all of our elk populations east of the Cascade Crest during that winter, and we are definitely seeing ramifications from that currently. So elk harvest since 2001, if I were to put a mean across that, it runs about 7,500 elk a year. Until recently, we consistently bounced around that number. 2017 was our record low elk harvest for a number of years. So in Washington, we formerly managed 10 elk herds. The Selkirk elk herd is split into two subherds. We've got the Spokane subherd, and we've got the Ponderosa subherd, which is up in northeast Washington. So for the Selkirk herd, we primarily rely on harvest data. It's a difficult area to monitor. Harvest data indicates a stable population within the Ponderosa subherd. It also indicates a relatively stable population in the Spokane subherd. We do have a survey effort that we do in collaboration with Turnbull National Wildlife Refuge, but that's not representative of the entire Spokane subherd. So down in the Blue Mountains, we want to be between 5,000 and 6,000 elk for objective. We consistently were within that range up until, again, that winter of 2016-2017. We had record low calf-to-cow ratios that were down in the teens, and the vast majority of that reduction was associated with, 50% less calves on that. We've went to a biannual survey in the Blues, so we didn't survey last year. They're going to be conducting their surveys hopefully in the next couple days, and I'll have results for the April meeting. Moving into the Clockham, we were gradually increased. That herd was well above objective. You guys are familiar with our efforts to bring that population down. We had in some recent years increased antlerless opportunity within an elk herd, trying to bring it back down to objective. The winter of 2016-2017 helped us with that. As of last winter, we were at the lower end of that, and surveys there are hopefully going to occur next week. As I mentioned, the Yakima survey results just came in last week. That population was above objective for a number of years as well. The gaps in the Yakima are because we are reliant on the elk to come down and concentrate on winter range and come to the feed sites. And in those years that there are no data points, those represent mild winter conditions, and we're not able to do a survey. And so we weren't able to last year as well. The results I got last night put the Yakima herd below objective, but at a very similar number to what it was in the spring of 2017. In the North Cascades, up in northwest Washington, that population continued to increase. Those surveys are going to be conducted in the middle of March. We don't have any indication that population has declined, so I anticipate that number will be the similar or an increase from what we've seen in the past. Down in the North Cascades elk herd, in early 2000s, we saw an increasing trend that's kind of tapered off. We primarily rely on harvest data. We do have additional data sets that are provided to us from the Muckleshoot Indian Tribe, where they do surveys, and three of the primary GMUs, and their data indicates the same trends. Moving down into the south near elk herd, we rely on harvest data. Again, relatively stable harvest. Inference is that we have a stable population. So Mount St. Helens, starting in 2007, we were trying to bring that population down. There was indications that it was well above carrying capacity. We had large winter die-off events. We were giving out a lot of antlerless opportunity, trying to bring that herd down by 35%. We achieved that objective in 2012, so we backed off on permits, but that was also the time when hoof disease had really ramped up and a large proportion of that population was affected. We maintained stability, and then here came that winter of 2016-2017 is that second dip, and we documented that even within our radio collared elk that we had as part of our hoof disease survival study. Up in the Olympics, we rely primarily on harvest data, and that's relatively stable. There was a little dip there. We've kind of come back up, and down in the Willapa Hills, it's mostly a stable population as well. So second year of a three-year hunting package, there's no major changes proposed for elk. We're proposing to add an early archery, any elk opportunity, and early muzzleloader three-point minimum or antlerless opportunities in elk area 6014, and the intent of those are to help mitigate damage issues that we're having within that elk area. We're proposing to shift legal elk from early archery and 652 from any elk to three-point minimum or antlerless. And we're proposing to allow opportunities to harvest antlered elk in elk area 6013 during early and late archery. To continue, we're proposing to shift the legal elk for early muzzleloader and GMU 505 from three-point to three-point minimum or antlerless. Again, this is in an effort to help mitigate some damage issues that are occurring there. We've had long-standing permit opportunities, and they just don't seem to be as effective as we'd like, and so we're going to try to open that up to a general season opportunity. We're proposing to shift the legal elk for late muzzleloader and GMU 667 from three-point minimum to three-point minimum or antlerless. Again, that's in response to some damage issues that we're trying to be responsive to. And then finally, so we're proposing to maintain a placeholder for an early archery general elk season in the Clackam and Yakima elk herd areas until 2018 harvest estimates and 2019 spring survey data are available. So that was a very common theme. And so maybe I'll just go ahead and go into this. So the public input we got from this, six folks were in support, 17 were opposed, and the common theme for opposition was the potential loss of general season archery in the 300 series GMUs, which covers the Yakima and the Clackam elk herds. And that was the common theme from last year's public. Last year we actually proposed to go to a permit system for the archers, and we received a lot of opposition to that. The department was responsive to that opposition. The recommended adjustment was to shorten the season, give them 5 days in 2018, but we would also maintain a placeholder during the 2019 and 2020 seasons, and we wouldn't make a decision until we had harvest estimates from the 2018 season and then survey data to inform, you know, what the effects of that were. So we're proposing to continue to hold that, and once we get our harvest data and our survey data in, we'll come to the April meeting and propose an informed adjustment.
Mr. Thorburn.
Brock, do we have a sense of effort as a result of that change? Was there participation by archers?
Yeah, I don't know. From our district bios, I think they would tell you, yeah, it seemed like there's a lot of interest. Guys are going out and doing that. Yeah. So we're depending on WSU, right, to complete our survey. They're just getting that wrapped up, so we don't have any final hunter numbers, harvest estimates, or anything at this time. I'm expecting those early next week, potentially. I'm hopeful. And then, as I said, the same with our survey data. So hopefully the Clockham survey will happen next week, and we can see where that population is relative to objective, see what the annual harvest was associated with this season, and see if we need to make adjustments.
Great. Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay. Oh, excuse me. Commissioner McKaysey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the North Cascades and the Skagit elk issues, you have population numbers here, and you have general hunting season strategies, and there's the problem that we've been talking about quite a bit in terms of the ag land situation. Is there anything in your recommendation here that we should be aware of that integrates your strategy to try to do something, or should we consider that to be a separate ag damage category of activity, and we shouldn't be looking at the general season to try to have that be part of a solution?
Are you talking specifically for the Skagit Valley?
Yeah,
so the Skagit Valley is all permanent. There are some general season opportunities associated with that elk herd, but they're not in GMU 418, where most of the elk herd is. We have general season opportunities up in 407, which is the Acme Valley. 437, we have no state hunter harvest, which is the just south of the Skagit Valley. My read on that from folks that have been on the ground with that issue for a number of years is that they did try general season kind of approaches in the past, and given the abundance of private properties and private owners, it just created a lot of other issues. You had a lot of trespass issues. It's just not a place that's very conducive to having general season opportunities.
Question about North Cascade as well. On some of these graphs, you show population objectives. You don't on North Cascades. Do we have a population? I know it's co-managed.
Yeah, so I probably should have updated my slide. So the population objective now is 1950. When I first created these slides, I borrowed from a past presentation, and at that time, that herd plan had not been formally adopted, and so I was hesitant to put any graph up that showed that objective. It is 1950. The other caveat I would put on that is that's for all five GMUs.
I understood.
And this survey is Skagit Valley and 418. It's GMU 418 is only, that's the only place that this number's coming from.
So we've got a population objective of 1915, and it looks like we're probably counting 1700 in that.
Yes, you are correct.
So we may be way over population objective in that.
You are correct.
Okay.
Okay, so with that, we'll move into elk special permits. We don't have any major changes proposed. As always, our quality special permits and bull permits, we've adjusted up and down for, in relation to the allocation objectives that we try to meet. We adjust antlerless permits up or down with the goal of maintaining herds at objective or moving them toward population objective if needed, and propose added quality special permit opportunities in GMU 334 in conjunction with existing opportunities in the Clockham and Yakima herd areas. So this is kind of a pretty big thing. Historically, we have not included GMU 334. It's the Ellensburg GMU. It includes all the agricultural lands around Ellensburg, as well as Ellensburg itself. It's part of Elk Area 3011. And so we maintain very liberal seasons for all user groups to kill, to harvest spikes or antlerless with the objective of keeping elk numbers low within this GMU. What has happened is that there's no opportunity for anybody to harvest a mature bull. And so over the years, the number of mature bulls in that GMU has increased such that now they are the common source of damage complaints. And we would prefer to provide opportunity to our hunters to assist with that damage issue rather than handing out landowner permits or damage permits to have those animals harvested. So to continue, we're proposing to add modern firearm, archery, and muzzleloader special bull permits and use special permits for spike bull only in Elk Area 1015. So this is in association with the Turnbull National Wildlife Refuge, and they've advocated for reducing antlerless permits, and so we've lost some opportunity there. And so we've the proposals for additional permits in that elk area are trying to make up for that lost opportunity, and we figure we can do that safely with the spike hunts. We're proposing to expand youth special permits in designated areas within Region 5. These are damage-related hunts, and so it's just to include more opportunities to get youth out in response to some of those damage issues. And we're proposing to eliminate, we're not proposing, we have to eliminate antlerless permit hunts for disabled and 65 senior hunters in Elk Area 6011. Elk Area 6011 is the Transalta coal mine down in Centralia, and we've always implemented those hunts. So anytime a hunter goes out there, they have to have an escort. The escort has to be a licensed mine operator. Even within the employee base there, there's very few people that actually carry that, I don't know how to put it, have that license. And so they're just not able to, it's a volunteer effort on their part, and they're just not able to commit to that much time anymore. And so they've requested that we eliminate half those permits. And so that's what we're doing. Now, that said, our regional program manager and biologists are still working with them and trying to figure out ways that maybe we can come, solutions we can come up with to continue these hunts into the future. So a couple adjustments. As I mentioned, we wanted to add GMU 334 to a couple of the permits opportunities, and when we were going through and editing those, we missed a couple. So the way we're, I didn't mention that, the way we're providing the opportunity, we didn't want to just provide opportunity just in 334, because what's happened in the past when there was some opportunity is folks would draw that permit, and then they couldn't find permission. Landowner permission. And so all the areas where we're opening this up are in association with already established permit opportunities. So it's kind of a bundle of GMUs, and this would be one of their options where they could go and hunt. And so we missed a couple. There was a muzzleloader hunt. Oh, sorry. There was a muzzleloader hunt, and then there was a hunt for hunters with disabilities. So the common theme of with our public input, majority of folks opposed our proposals. Five were supportive. Within the opposition, there really was no common theme. It was mostly they were opposed to a reduction, or they wanted more opportunity. So with that, I'll take any questions.
That's the end of your presentation.
That's the end.
Well, very good. Thank you very much. We'll look forward to hearing more back in April on the hoof disease. We have three individuals, experienced individuals, I might add, that I want to make public comment. So I'm not going to explain the three-minute rule. Don DeShiel, Craig Ellenbolt, and Freddie G. With that, I'm going to go to the point here. We'll get done with this, right?
I don't really know what you know about my experience, but.
Well, I've heard of that.
I just have a few comments on the elk deal, mostly related to the area I live in Stevens County. That's who I'm here to represent today. I know that some months ago, a long time ago, when it was a lot warmer in Wenatchee, and it might even have been in the fall, but I know it was warmer than today. We talked about, I had testified about going back to any elk in 121 and 117 because it's part of the Ponderay, the Selkirk Ponderay subherd. but it is, they lay up against a little fountain of elk that you guys don't get to count. You don't get to count the elk that are there nor the harvest that happens there. But those elk move north off of the reservation and starting to have some damage deals going on. I'd ask for any elk, and it was, oh no, you can't do that. You'll be overrun with people, and there'll be all kinds of trespass issues and whatever. But you did create some cow permits, and I know the data's not all in on that. I hope everybody that drew one was successful. We've had, you know, some issues last summer. We didn't have any this winter until, oh gee, about a month ago. And the deep snow drove some elk down into some feed yards and some stack yards. I just would like you to evaluate that, at least continue with those permits. I know they have to wait until they get the data in on that. I think we have enough big acre government and timber land owners in that those GMUs to offer opportunity in the general season. I don't think farmers are real keen on getting depredation tags. It's not really a solution if there is a problem there, and it's better to have some access for people that really want to hunt those elk to take care of that problem as it comes up. Thank you.
Mr. Ellenbolt, back with Hunt of a Lifetime.
We kind of covered it on the deer side of it. I did pull the paperwork that had the 9 months hospice care, and it's understood that with that, I can read the definition here and understand where the confusion came from. Is it, the definition's under terminally ill SOP, signed back in 2016 by, I'm assuming, the past director, shows terminally ill applicants is a person who is within 9 months of hospice care, comma, has been diagnosed with a terminal illness, comma, and is applying for a special hunt permit for terminally ill persons. Talking with Annis, he believes and reads this as either or. So if the verbiage needs to be changed, we can, you know, hopefully look at that. If not, it sounds like it's been working fine without, you know, the assumption that it's both. So at this point, I believe we're pretty much good.
Pretty much good is pretty good. And
yes.
Between Anise and our resident physician, I'm pretty sure, pretty much good, that we'll be able to get this figured out.
Perfect.
So thanks. Let us know if you need anything, okay?
Thank you.
And the last person of the day, or not of the day, of this series is Freddie G.
Yeah, just like a rapper. Contrary to what Mr. DeShield is saying, in southern Stevens County along the Spokane border where his ranch is, the Spokane Indians manage their elk, deer, whitetail, and mule deer for maximum ungulate population. He's in that area, and there are other farms in that area that are having depredation during the winter time and sometimes in the summer. What we're finding is that the wolves have pushed the elk down into the valleys. They've pushed the elk into more private property, especially in the northern portions of 121, 117, 108, 111. The calf rate has dropped tremendously. I had a guy call me last night. He took a picture of 21 cows. There were no calves, zero. I know that doesn't tell the entire tale, but it says that they're a little bit in trouble. And until we can get a handle on the wolves, we would like to see possibly a 3-point bull restriction so that we will continue to have enough bulls to breed whatever cows are left after the wolves eat them. The bear population, directly relating to the elk, Over the last 6 years, the bear harvest has been 389 average bears killed a year in northeastern Washington. The number of elk harvested over the same six-year period has been 224. So we're harvesting 43% more bears than elk in northeastern Washington. So that's all I wanted to say about the elk. I think we need to be proactive, have the game department be proactive, and try and raise the elk in the areas that they need to be raised. And if they need depredation permits on their property, then go that way. But hunting them up in the mountains where they're not at is not going to get it done if you allow any animal to be shot. Because the old saying was, if it's brown, it's down. So I think we need to try and work within the realm of conservation on an already dwindling resource. Thank you.
Take a break now till 3:30. We'll come back at 3:30.